This summer, over 25,000 youth descended upon Orlando, Florida for the National Youth Gathering. It was a great time. They had a good time. We had youth from our own church that went to this. But as a part of the gathering, they did a survey. Now, they do this survey every 3 years at the youth gathering. And the survey is this: what concerns do you have in your life? And the results are really interesting because the results are in. Listen to some of these results that are concerns of our youth. Some of our youth are concerned about the future. Some of them are concerned about family relationships. Some of them are concerned about college. Some are concerned about unbelievers. Some of them are concerned about terrorism. And some of them are concerned about the war. But the number one concern that our youth had from this survey was this: my own faith. As a matter of fact, if you go to the end of the article, the researchers talk about it. They say, regarding the fact that so many indicated concern about my faith, the researchers noted that the youth seemed to recognize, although perhaps unconsciously, that their faith is under siege and threatened. In general, there is less respect for religion in our culture. There are so many spiritual options being offered, and there are so many changes in society's moral code. It's easy to see how a young person might feel like their faith is threatened, said the researchers. Today, I want to talk about this because this happens in our society all the time. What happens is you have these academic types, and in order to stay in academia, you have to either publish or perish. And so these academics, they come up with some of the crazy theories that you see out here. And so they throw these theories out and they get published, but then you have other people that they come and they start critically analyzing these theories and they go back and forth, and actually I think this is a good thing. This is how we get to the truth. But what happens is that there are people out there who are against the Christian faith, and they come up with some of these ideas and they present them as truth. And so our children, they're caught in the middle of this thing and they hear these things and they hear them as truth. And so in these national polls, you find things like the youth who say their number one concern in their life is my own faith. Well, today I want to talk about that a little bit because I believe that our faith is so important. I believe that the truth is so important. And I love this show called Mythbusters. And so today we're going to look at a new Mythbusters in our series. And this one's called Mythbusters Jesus. And we're going to talk about some of the truths about Jesus. And one of the first myths that I want to talk about there, believe it or not, is out there, is this one: Jesus never lived. Yes, that's a myth that's out there. It's been around since the 19th century, early part of the 20th century. And it really started out because of the Apostle Paul. If you look at the writings of Paul, you'll notice that Paul never mentions any of the sayings of Jesus. And so some of the people who have looked at this have said, well, this is evidence that Jesus never lived. Jesus never walked on the face of the earth. And so they will take this myth and they'll perpetuate it. But if you look at Paul, I want you to listen to what Paul says, because really this is a myth that's being perpetuated, but Paul never said that at all. Paul said, at the end of Corinthians 15, he said, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. Now listen to this: that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And after that, he appeared to no more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. Now, certainly that doesn't seem like a person who didn't believe that Jesus Christ lived. As a matter of fact, if Jesus Christ had been a mythical figure, Paul would have mentioned that in his epistles. But Paul never even mentions that in the epistles. If you look at the evidence from Paul, he believed completely that Jesus lived. But we don't have to just look at Scripture to find evidence and proof that Jesus actually lived. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of non-biblical sources that talk about the existence of Jesus. One of those is from a gentleman named Flavius Josephus. Josephus lived in AD 37 years after the birth of Christ until AD 101. And he was a Jewish historian. And he wrote a book called The Antiquities. And in that book, he mentions not only Jesus, but other people. For example, in that book, Flavius Josephus mentions John the Baptist and how he was killed by Herod. He also mentions in the same Antiquities about James, the brother of Jesus, who was also in the early church. And there's also another mention in Josephus about Jesus Christ himself. Now, there are a lot of people that look at these things and say, well, those are things that came about from the early church. It was the church that mentions these things and the church that brought it forth from history, and we can't rely on these sources. But folks, there are copies of Josephus that have been found that have never been part of the church. They've been found in Jewish synagogues and they've been perpetuated by the Jewish church. And yet they still have these citations about Jesus, about James, about Herod and John the Baptist. But let's put Josephus aside. We also have from Tacitus, who was a Roman historian who lived around 85 AD. And in his annals, he mentions Jesus Christ and talks about how the Christians lived in Rome. And if you'll remember, Nero tried to pin the fires of Rome on the Christians, and Tacitus talks about this. I want you to listen to what Tacitus says. He says, consequently, to get rid of the report about the fires, Nero fastened the guilt and inflicted the most exquisite tortures on a class hated for their abominations, called Christians, by the populace. Christus, from whom the name had its origin, suffered the extreme penalty during the reign of Tiberius at the hand of one of our procurators, Pontius Pilate. And most mischievous superstition, thus checked for the moment, again broke out not only in Judea, the source of evil, but even in Rome, where all things hideous and shameful from every part of the world find their center and become popular. That's from Tacitus, a Roman historian, has nothing to do with Christianity. But there's even more. Approximately AD 112, there was a gentleman named Pliny the Younger, who was also a governor of Bithynia in Asia and wrote 10 books. And in one of those books, he talked about the practices of Christians. There's also the Jewish Talmud, which is the writings of the Jewish history and how they interpreted that even through the time of Christ. And they talk about a Christ who was executed on the eve of Passover. We also have the writings of Lucian. This was probably around 150 AD, and he mentions Jesus Christ. He was a Greek writer and rhetorician, and he talked about the life of Christians and how their leader was crucified. Now, folks, these are all non-biblical sources, and a lot of them are not friendly to Christianity. And yet, in every single one of them, it doesn't talk about a mythical Jesus. It talks about a real, live Jesus who, it was claimed, was killed and rose again. And when our youth hear all these competing views, they also need to hear that there is good, solid evidence out there, non-biblical, that talks about the life of Jesus Christ, not as a mythical figure, but is about a real person. So I would have to say in this first myth, myth number one, that myth is busted. Now, on to a second myth. Jesus didn't become divine until Constantine. Now, this myth happens all the time. And the myth goes like this, that Jesus never really became God. Nobody in the early church really believed that Jesus was God until the time of Constantine, and Constantine elevated Jesus to being a simple prophet to being God. And you see this myth happen all the time. For example, a movie that came out 2 years ago, The Da Vinci Code. That was the main topic of the movie, that Jesus really never said that he was divine. Well, I want to dig into this myth a little bit. In order to dig into this myth, we don't have to go really any farther than the Apostle Paul. Remember, Apostle Paul lived right after the time of Jesus. And I want to quote to you some of the writings from Apostle Paul in his epistles. For example, Colossians 1:19, "For God was pleased to have all the fullness dwell in him." Or Colossians 1:15, "He is the image of the invisible God." Or Colossians 2:9, "For in Christ All the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. Or 2 Corinthians 4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Or 2:6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. See, the Apostle Paul in all of his writings talks about how Jesus is divine, how Jesus is God. There's no question if you look at the Apostle Paul, that's what he's saying. Well, you might say, well, maybe the Apostle Paul is the one that made it up, but certainly not the disciples. They didn't believe that Jesus was God. Well, let's go back and look. Matthew 16. This is the encounter of Jesus and Peter. When Jesus came out to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? Now, this reference to the Son of Man is exactly from the book of Daniel. And it's this beautiful image in the book of Daniel of the Son of Man getting the authority to go down and save the earth from the Almighty. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? It was a direct reference. The disciples replied, well, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But who do you say that I am? Said Jesus. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. See, it wasn't only just Paul that said that Jesus was God, it was also Peter. When sometimes you hear in this myth, well, Jesus himself never said that he was God. Jesus was just a simple man that never said he was God. And for that, all we have to do is go to John chapter 10, verses 22 through 33. Then came the feast of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple area walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews gathered around him saying, how long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The miracles I do in my Father's name speak for me. But you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Listen to this. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. Then what happened? Again, the Jews picked up stones to stone him. But Jesus said to them, I have shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? And the Jews said, we're not stoning you for any of these, but for the blasphemy. Because you, a mere man, claim to be God. You, a mere man, claim to be God. See, this myth that Jesus was not God is just a myth. Jesus believed he was God. The apostles believed he was God. Paul believed he was God. The early church believed he was God. It didn't happen some 300 years later at some conference dominated by Constantine. It was from the beginning. And the early church believed that Jesus was God. So I would have to say that that myth is busted. So there you have it. We've talked about two myths. But what I'd like to do now is just step back a little bit and talk about this. Because you see, we didn't have a video camera following Jesus around. We didn't record everything about his life. And we really can't use a scientific method to prove that he actually existed or that he actually was God. If you look at the life of Jesus, you have to go by faith. And faith is something that we all struggle with. That's why the youth struggle with faith. People always question about the existence of God. Why does God make it this way? Why can't God just give us undeniable proof that he exists? You see, but if God proved undeniably to you that he exists, there'd be no room for faith. But the truth is, God knew that you would struggle with this. God knew that our youth would struggle with this. God knew that we would all struggle with this. And that's why he set this plan in motion where he sent his son, Jesus Christ, into the world to redeem you from all the struggles that you have in your life. You see, at one time we did live in the Garden of Eden, and we saw God clearly, and there were no doubts. But after God threw us out of the Garden of Eden, then the doubt started. Paul said, one day we shall see God face to face. Now we see through an opaque glass. Struggles and doubts will always be with us. But there's one thing that you need to know, and that is those struggles and doubts don't make you fall away from Jesus. Because when you struggle with your faith, Jesus is there right beside you, and he gives you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works in your life, and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and gives you the faith that you need. And that's no myth. In Jesus' name, amen.